Maxie LaWile dragged Super Shiro on the silver screen. Let's make her story. Maxie LaWile will be the first animated film to feature a drag superhero and drag villain, prominent LGBTQ and BIPOC, that's Black Indigenous People of Color, cast members. About the film. When drag queens start disappearing, a shy young barista must summon his inner super Shiro, rescue them from an evil cosmetic exec bent on harvesting their magic anti-aging tears. This is Eric, and welcome to the craziness that lives inside my head. Anthony Han, you filmed or making a movie called Maxie LaWile drags Super Shiro on the silver screen. Could you explain that to us?
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Eric. I'm delighted to be here today. And we had a little bit of technical difficulty, and it's all working good now. Glad to hear that. Maxie LaWile is an animated feature film, and it tells the story of Simon, a shy young barista who finds a magic wig that turns him into a drag super Shiro. And we also have a drag villain. Her name is Dynabolical, and she's been kidnapping queens around town and forcing them to watch the saddest movie ever made on constant loop to harvest their tears and launch a new cosmetics line. And now she's after Maxie and her superpower tears.
Well, I'm a little nuts, so it sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy concept, and I'd been working on it for a long time. It has some familiar kind of comic book tropes as far as, you know, a young man finds this magical artifact and everything. But it's about drag queens. So we got to make it camp and we've got to make it fun and a little surreal and magical.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, have you gotten any flack of like, say, drag queens or the trans community about it?
Yeah, so I have quite a number of friends here in South Bay. I live in San Jose, about 50 miles south of San Francisco. And, they've all been very supportive. Drag queens on Instagram have been very supportive. Trans folks, every person's different. I think some trans folks just want to make sure that the wider world recognizes that trans people are not drag queens and drag queens are not trans people. There may be some overlap, of course, but and that's totally understandable to make sure that that's, you know, also part of the conversation in some way.
Okay. So, because I've done drag shows, and I had a TV soap opera that was mainly drag queens. But one of the flacks I got, backlash from some of the drag queen community, was they thought that mine was comical, of the comical soap opera. But see, some took it that I was showing the negative side of drag life or even trans life, because I had some pre-ops in my cast. So, and they made it quite clear, you know, they're not drag queens. So, yeah, I mean, it was like a fine line. I tried to show I kept saying it's a comedy, you know, it's a comedy, but basically it went well. I ran for 10 years in the Bronx.
Cool.
On the Bronx school show, yeah.
But yeah, I think that one thing that me as far as a regular member of our LGBTQ community, I've had to go on my own journey to educate myself about trans folks also. And, uh-huh. I am by far not an expert because every person's different and every trans person has their own unique story to tell. But through the grace of coworkers and friends, I've gotten smarter and more educated about some of the issues that trans folks face. And then, some great media options as well. And one of the things is clear is that, we all need to educate ourselves more about the kinds of issues that are, as a gay man, I'm more intimately familiar with gay issues, but, it's important for us to be more familiar with the issues that our lesbian sisters and our trans siblings and other, bi folks and so on face too, so that we can be supportive for them. And because we're all united, we all need to be united in our fight for equality and standing up for each other. So, and sometimes it's easy to forget that not the rest of the world is as educated, and some things that I take for granted about knowing, for example, differences between drag queens and trans folks, the wider population may not. And trans folks need to live with that on a daily basis. So I can only imagine that it's really quite challenging.
Well, I grew up in New York City. And my experience with drag queens, especially when you go to the bars and when they out open, they had to be pretty tough. A lot of them did not crash anybody, you can't be, especially in New York City, you can't be timid. If you're timid, people are gonna, you know what people wanna do. But I like the idea that, because a lot of people think because you're a drag queen, what's that expression? You're a sissy, you do this, but a super hero, I like that,
Well, one thing that's been nice about, umpteen seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race and Dragula, is that you can see people when they don't have their wigs on. They've got their makeup off and their wigs off and they're in whatever regular attire. And so it kind of demystifies, what it means to be a drag queen in some way. And you can see that there's a human behind this sort of figure that's been created for entertainment or for whatever reasons.
Yeah. So I looked at one of the videos. You had... not the cartoon one. You had one who really looked like the character. Is that who you took the character from?
No. So they're on Indiegogo. This is being recorded in middle of September. And on the Indiegogo, there's a pitch video and I'm wearing a fun floral jacket. And there's a local drag queen in San Francisco named Pollo Del Mar, who joins me in there to kind of amp up the camp factor and the fun factor of the pitch video. And then God bless her for being totally game for doing the silliness that was that video. I've been working on the Maxi LaValle video for a while, but I'm glad that she was able to show up with kind of like purple and pink kind of outfit and just have fun with it.
Yeah. So you're trying to raise funds to do the whole video or just a trip trailer?
Right. So I started working on like a 2-minute concept video, and I'm calling it an adventure reel because it shows a few scenes from the current project, the current Maxi LaValle project. It also shows a few scenes from potential future storylines because I'd like to see this turn into an animated TV series or possibly another couple of movies. So we are actually launching pre-production this month, and we're also casting the voice actors. So the 50,000 goal of the Indiegogo is really just kind of a chunk of it to help with the costs of pre-production. And so this money will really help us do things like develop the look of the cafe, develop the look of Dynabolical's dungeon and her kind of mansion, you know, the look and feel of the town. And we want to stylize it a little bit and really kind of elevate that drag aesthetic and, you know, the fun camp aspects of it and the colors and everything.
Do you have a drag queen on staff who's going to give you the technical details?
Not so much per se from that regards, but my script writing partner in this project is a part-time drag queen in San Francisco. His name is Michael Phyllis, and his stage name is Patty from HR. And Michael's an actor, a writer, a director, just one of these shockingly talented people. And he also has this one queen show that I had seen a couple of years ago. So I was thrilled to make the connection with him on this project. And then moving forward, he's involved in it still. And we also are hiring, we're looking to hire a number of drag queens and potentially some a drag king as well. So fingers crossed. I'm really excited by the auditions I've seen so far.
Yeah, I had a couple of drag kings in my soap opera style.
Wonderful. So,
well, it sounds exciting. I mean, of course it's going to be G-rated, right?
Maybe PG-13, PG-14, along those lines, you know. Yeah. But this is a movie by queer creators for a queer audience. But mm-hmm. you know, there are so many allies who love drag also, and we want to be accessible to our allies as well, so that our allies can really enjoy this film too.
One of the things I did come across when I was on BronxNet cable station. Unfortunately, there was a preacher who was writing to the studio, the company, against what I was doing because it was gay and it was drag queen. So you think you're going to come across that, or have you come across anything like that from the religious?
Right. So I occasionally do a little bit of like promotions on Facebook. There's a Maxi Luau fan book page, and it's Maxi Luau, MaxxieLaWow. And boy, there have been some really hateful comments coming in. So I've been having to keep an eye on that. And there have been a few unkind comments put on YouTube as well. So we're keeping an eye on those.
Yeah. This want to hear something funny about Facebook. They I know they don't have a human being doing this. It's called algorithm, and the algorithm, I'm shocked because I have a Facebook page, The Craziness That Lives in My Head, and mm-hmm. I got an email inviting me to post my podcast on my page, which I did. I mean, we're all trying to promote, you know, each other. Then today I got an email from Facebook bashing me, saying that the content wasn't what you call community standard, which I knew that stuff is X-rated. So, but I just find it interesting. Things change. I don't know. I'm glad it changed for the good in the sense that you have more people who are, what's that word I'm looking for? I'm going to say lenient enough, or who live and let live attitude. I mean, if you're gay, you're gay. If you're drag queen, you're drag queen. So let's move on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
More people of that now than it did back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, along those lines, I think that, you know, art in some way can play a role to help with that, you know, with that goal of making the wider culture more accepting. You know, I think there are some movies in the 90s, for example, that really helped a lot, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and Tu Wong Fu, and In and Out. And then when we had Ellen coming out on TV and Will and Grace, those were hugely important for, I think, changing the wider cultures and perceptions around gay people and helping regular people, you know, accept their LGBTQ friends, neighbors, coworkers. I think they've been really important.
And let's not forget, All in the Family was a very big hit when they had a drag queen on the show. And it was, I like that. Not that they killed the drag queen, but how the drag queen died. And like, the drag queens are people like everybody else. I mean, I don't know if you saw how old you are, but that show had went nationwide when they had the drag queen on the show.
Was that, did you say All in the Family in the 70s?
Yes, All in the Family.
Oh, I don't remember that episode. I do remember liking that show when I was a kid, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that show was really important. That show, you know, helped a lot as far as like exposing the racism, the misogyny, the homophobia of society at that time and calling it out, you know, bringing it out into the open so that people could, you know, talk about it and really kind of recognize it for what it was.
Yeah. Well, but I, if you get a chance to look at that episode, YouTube has everything, you know. I forgot the name of the drag queen, but they killed her off. And the way they killed her off is I think she died because of a hate crime. And the thing, Edith stopped believing in God because she felt that the drag queen was a good person. You know, why do people hate her? Why did they kill her? Just because she's a drag queen. And I cried on that episode because, yes, drag people they're human. They're human beings like anything else. And instead of looking at them for what they are, like the goodness in it, they're looking at them because they dress up, you know, they act different. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great because, you know, it's easy to hate the other when you don't think of who that other is, when you don't think of their face or their name, you know, or their story. It's so much easier to hate people like that. And then so, you know, shows like that clearly played a role in humanizing this other, the gay folks. And I mean, the unfortunate thing, of course, is that, you know, that particular character, you know, met an untimely end. But it's a genuine, you know, a genuine thing that happens in society. And even today, the number of gay bashings, hate crimes against anyone in the LGBTQ community, murders of trans folks, it's a bad time right now for this. Yeah. And, you know, hate crimes against Asian folks, API folks, you know, it's awful. It's a reality that we all face.
Right. Okay, Anthony, you have anything else you want to plug for your show? I should say.
Yeah, please visit maxie.com, maxxie.com. And there you can see the 2-minute adventure reel. And it really does help paint a great picture of what we want to do with this show and the kind of the fun and the camp and the look and the really like positive energy and heart of this show. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is kind of a coming of age story. Simon's 21 years old when he and the wig kind of bond and sort of form this magical drag queen. And, you know, and there are a lot of fun adventures. His best friend is a Korean-American girl his age named Jay. And she, you know, she's the parent, or I'm sorry, she's the child of Korean immigrants. So I think there are some really cool storylines that we can tell there, especially in the current cultural climate where immigrants take a lot of flack, especially from the alt-right and the Republicans and so on. And then, you know, the villain is a Black character. So I want to have this like showcase the kind of intersectionality and, you know, beautiful diversity of the LGBTQ community. And so we have other folks as well. We have a drag king who's kind of like this international man of mystery. His role is a little bit less in this one, but I'd like to explore his backstory and what he's doing in the TV show, hopefully someday. We have a lot of really interesting characters that we set up in this movie, and we want to tell some cool stories with them moving forward.
Okay.
So please go to Maxi.com, watch the Adventure Reel, follow us in social media. We're especially active on Facebook and Instagram at Maxi Luau. If you're feeling generous, please make a donation on Indiegogo. But otherwise, I'd really, really appreciate it if you could share the word and help get the word out about Maxi Luau.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being on my show. And I'm going to end this saying, this is Eric, and you just heard the craziness that lives inside my head.